What is up, basketball fans? Welcome to a live NBA outlet. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. Corey, how are we doing on this wonderful Friday evening?
Not bad. A little bit different. I'm on my phone because my laptop is a piece of garbage, to be nice about it. So, you know, we had to make do with what we have.
Shout out to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Got the shirt right here. Grab this at DesignTree/OffTheGlass. Winning MVP, well-deserved. You know, pretty much a lot of the people who won awards this past week. We're not going to talk about that. Too much free agency stuff to get into. But as always, you can check us out on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, TGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But Corey, there has been a lot of free agency rumors since last time we spoke. You know, we've done the previews on point guards, shooting guards, small forwards, power forwards, and centers. Feels like a lot of the stuff we said probably doesn't even matter anymore with the rumors that have dropped. But we can get into some players that it seems like are already locked up. Starting off with one, I don't want to say it's a surprise, but I don't think going to the offseason this was like anticipated. Kemba Walker to the Boston Celtics seems like a done deal.
Yeah, I mean, so Kemba Walker, obviously the smoke screen or the, you know, quote unquote smoke screen would be him saying, I want to stay in Charlotte, or and him being kind of adamant about that even as the Hornets season ended and free agency started to begin, or this, I don't even know, the waste time before free agency where he was pretty much still adamant that, like, you know, I'll take less money to stay with the Charlotte. And then you look at Boston, who's trying to recover from the Irving situation. Now that Horford leaving, it's kind of like, well, we have all this money. Do we throw it after a center, or do we throw it at maybe a point guard per se? And now their guy is Kemba Walker. And honestly, Kemba Walker is probably a better version of Kyrie because you're not getting the off the court drama.
Yeah, I mean, I would say give or take. Like, I think Kyrie, there's still a gap in between, like, what he can do on the floor and what Kemba Walker can do. Like, he's not far from where Kyrie is. And I think Jackie McMullen posted a really good piece today. And a lot of the issues Kyrie had with Boston made sense. Like, there was a report of him being after a game. They were playing it back-to-back. They just got to Miami. They had a game the next night. And players were going out and to South Beach and staying out late when they had a game. And it was on a back-to-back. And, you know, players go out all the time. But when you have a game next day and a back-to-back, I could see why a veteran point guard would be upset when a team has championship aspirations. So it seems like some of the Kyrie stuff is coming out now that he actually had a reason to be upset. Obviously, he didn't handle it properly. But you're right. I think it's a good bounce back considering what was going to happen to their offseason, losing your two best players in Kyrie and Al Horford. Now you're getting a really good player in Kemba Walker who might fit better because he doesn't necessarily have as big an ego as Kyrie. He's not going to be as upset if he doesn't take the last shot. And I think there'll be a really good fit there. So it's a really good bounce back move by the Celtics, who could have had an incredibly bad offseason. Obviously, it's not official yet, but it seems like it is.
Yeah, it feels like they've kind of gone back to a couple of years ago where they're going to have that the other guy mentality to the fact mm-hmm. that there's no team with a bona fide star on it, but you've got a bunch of guys who are together, a very nice collaboration of pieces. And also, I know that Hayward and Kemba Walker do have a decent friendship as well. So that could be a bonus as well.
And let's be honest, like, we expect Gordon Hayward to be better this upcoming season.
Yeah.
You know, last year, bouncing back from the injury, and also it was just a weird role with all the players. In some ways, it benefits Boston in having less good offensive players because there's so many mouths to feed. You want to see Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum take that next step. It might be a little bit easier without Kemba Walker, without Al Horford. And it looks like a lot of the guys they're targeting for agency, possibly center-wise, are more of like, hey, I'm going to do the dirty work, or I don't need a lot of touches. Our guy Matt wrote a really good Celtics piece in terms of top targets if they sign Kemba Walker. So it's going to be interesting for Boston. Like, there's still a couple more, you know, signings that they're probably going to make. They don't have a ton of cap space, but they do have the room exception. So they'll try to get a bargain at some type of center. And there's also talk about them being the team that could pick up Clint Capella if Houston were to trade him and try to open space for Jimmy Butler.
That'd be interesting just to see who they would send away for a Clint Capella deal. But their big need is a center, and there are plenty of, I think, great value, or at least centers are going to be looking for a title. Robin Lopez, JaVale McGee. You have all of these guys who I think they'll have the chance of getting on maybe a bargain deal. And honestly, one of Boston's biggest issues these last couple of years is the fact they struggle rebounding-wise. So it wouldn't necessarily hurt to get a center who's focused primarily on just rim protection and rebounding.
Ed Davis is a good fit. You know, Matt brought him up in his piece. So obviously Celtics is going to be interesting, and it's, you know, a big splash. They do land Kemba Walker in the first, you know, 10 minutes of free agency. Another big splash came out, and that's for one of the Splash Brothers and Klay Thompson. It looks like the Warriors are going to drop that full max for him at 6:01 on Sunday.
Well-deserved. You can't let the Splash Brothers get broken up. I think Klay is the most important piece if you're comparing the Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson. Klay's the guy they drafted. That's their guy. He's homegrown. And it would make Curry happy. I think all these guys want to stay together. So it's good they're going to give him the max. You don't have to worry about him possibly falling into the Clippers or Lakers' hands by giving them a meeting.
Exactly, and I think that's a smart move. Obviously, Klay and his agent were trying to create some leverage, saying they were going to meet with the Lakers and Clippers if that max offer wasn't there. We know at the end of the day, the Warriors are probably going to offer it, but now they're just going to do it, you know, instantly when free agency starts and kind of get that done. Another wing player that's probably going to lock up back with his team is the Milwaukee Bucks. Looks like they're going to give Chris Middleton that full-on max.
Yeah, the Chris Middleton news is not a shock. You have to bring it back. Him and Antetokounmpo have a very good friendship. Those two guys are a big reason why this Milwaukee Bucks team had the best record in the NBA last season. And you don't want to mess this up. You got to realize that you have to keep this core intact, and hopefully they develop and become this championship level team that we saw them have flashes of this past year. But the Middleton signing, what that means about them giving him the max, it just makes it more intriguing of, all right, so now the decision certainly becomes, is it Brook Lopez or Malcolm Brogdon? Because you likely can't bring back all three unless you're okay with paying the luxury.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the real question. How deep are they willing to go in the luxury tax? You know, a lot of rumors came out that they're trying to move that Ersan Ilyasova contract. I believe when that first dropped, you and I weren't big fans of that contract in the first place. So that's coming back to bite them in the butt. But I kind of want them to go in the luxury tax, but I understand why they wouldn't, obviously being a small market in Milwaukee. But this team is really good, and you could run it back, and you could end up with a championship. I think I would lean towards probably Brook Lopez re-signing him, because you could probably do on a shorter window, a short-term contract, where Malcolm Brogdon, he is a restricted free agent, but there's been talk about teams offering him $20-plus million.
Yeah, I mean, this, you know, at the time we thought it was a bargain too, but now the Eric Bledsoe re-signing in the middle of the season looks bad, because tying up that kind of salary in a guy who couldn't show up in the postseason when you have such a nice, somewhat young talent in Malcolm Brogdon, that's probably one decision they wanted to get back. But yeah, Brogdon, if he gets over $20 million, you can't really match that if you're the Bucks. So like if teams like the Suns, even the Pacers, maybe if the Lakers don't go star route and they try and spread it out among a couple little guys, you know, Brogdon's going to be a guy where a lot of contending teams, you know, I mean, even some young teams, they're going to take a look at it because he's a two-way guard. He can play defense. He can hit the three. He had career highs in shooting numbers this year. So Brogdon's going to be a very sought-out free agent, especially on these like tier two.
Yeah, he's extremely efficient, you know, great complimentary player. He's not going to lead your offense or anything, but very nice compliment to a shooting guard that takes most of the touches. You know, even like in Chicago next to like a Zach LaVine, or you mentioned the Pacers next to a Victor Oladipo. You know, I think that would really work well for him and allow him to excel in his game. You mentioned it, like the Bledsoe deal, I was like okay with it. The one thing that made it a little bit safer was the fact I think the last year is non-guaranteed or something along those lines, or only partially guaranteed. But if they could go back in time, I think they don't sign that deal. They bring Brogdon back and probably let Bledsoe go. And Bledsoe had a really good season, but his skill set isn't necessarily an amazing fit next to Giannis, in my opinion.
No, it's not. I mean, it's because you need the floor spacing. And at the end of the day, Bledsoe's just not a very good floor spacer. Like, he can hit the three when he's in rhythm and everything else, but there's just not a lot of nights where he's in rhythm from three. It feels like he's almost trying to force the three-point shot to go down.
So, we just got a comment in the chat. We're still going through free agents, but this guy, Eddie Blank, says, I know an inside source from L.A. that Kawhi Leonard is going to be a Laker. His uncle has ties to New Balance and Staples Center. I guess we got the comment. We can jump into the Kawhi stuff right now. First off, give me your opinion on if Kawhi were to join the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, two of the top five, top six or seven players in the NBA.
Well, I can touch this that it's not a – if they win a title, I'm not putting an asterisk next to it. I want it like that. I've seen that all day on Twitter today. If Kawhi joining the Lakers, like there's an asterisk. This is no better than Durant going to the Warriors. Like there's a lot of differences. I mean, this is more like LeBron going to Miami the first time around than anything else with how they've orchestrated this collaboration of stars between getting AD and now trying to get another max player. For Kawhi, if he wants to play in LA this bad and he's looking at opportunities to win a championship, the Lakers now having LeBron and Anthony Davis are a better set team to win a title. Do I like what the Clippers have? Do I like what they have flexibility-wise, cap-wise? Yeah, they could probably be a more steady franchise for the next decade because the Lakers now have all of their money into stars, and your bench is always going to be a crap heap from this point out until LeBron's off the books and frees up, what, like $38 million, $40 million, whatever the end of that deal will be. So I think to a degree, if Kawhi wants to go to L.A., it makes sense to look at the Lakers, at least for the short term, because this is a win-now team, whereas the Clippers, I think, we're probably like to be a 2 to 3 year project. Like, I don't think next year.
It depends. If they sign another star with what they have, I think they'd be pretty close.
That's fair. I mean, if you bring Jimmy Butler in, let's say, I know that's been one rumor about Clippers, then yeah, the title aspirations are a lot better. But I don't see any big deal with it. If Kawhi wants to go there, he wants to go there. Because I don't think people are like, oh, well, if they get Kawhi, they're a lock to win a title. Like, no. If this year has proved anything, you're never a lock. Like, yes, on paper, you're a lock, and you probably should win at 55-plus games and have a deep playoff run. But we see time and time again that it's not guaranteed. Like, the Warriors hit a lot of bad luck this year. Yes, they've been granted a lot of good luck in the past, but nothing is determined or set in stone in August, July, and September.
I think they would have the highest probability to win a championship next year. I think this would be the best trio in NBA history, probably be the most elite talent you've ever seen on one NBA team. Like, we're talking about three of the top five players in the NBA. Yeah, LeBron might drop off in like 2 years, but Kawhi's ascending or staying where he's at. AD could possibly get up there. This is going to be, if it works out and like they gel and everything's right, this will be better than the Warriors. Like, it's not even a question because they just have so many good players. Like, yeah, they had Steph, Clay, KD, and Draymond, but like Clay and Draymond are not in the same tier as Kawhi Leonard. Like, Kawhi Leonard is arguably the best player in the league this year. LeBron James, you know, there's an argument he could be the best player next year. There's an argument for Anthony Davis to be the best player in the NBA next year. Like, I'm not saying like, hey, I'm not criticizing anybody what they want to do. If you're really good, you know, at your job and you want to go work for a really good business that has other guys that are really good at their job, it's going to push you and you're going to put out the best product, do what you want to do. But I do think that, like, from the perspective of the NBA fan, if they do stay healthy, it'll be like the Warriors are back in terms of like, all right, this team's a lock. Like, they can rest LeBron. Right. LeBron could play 70. LeBron could play 60 games. LeBron could play 50 games and they still probably be a top four seed. Like, if you told me a team had Kawhi and AD alone, I'd be scared. If you told me a team has LeBron and AD, I'm already like pretty scared. So I just think this combination is crazy. I'd be surprised. I'd be a little surprised for Kawhi Leonard being like, hey, I want to be the third wheel, or like someone's going to get a drop off there. Maybe LeBron, it's Anthony. Yeah. But to some extent, it's like, will LeBron really drop off? Like, it's just not in his like personality. Maybe he'll be more of a point guard, but he'll still have the ball in his hands a lot. It's just, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll work, like, regardless. Like, you have that much talent, people be like, oh, there's only one ball. Nah, it'll still work, but I just don't like it as a fan because I feel like we're at a position right now where the league's about to be extremely competitive because of the Warriors falling off, and there's so many opportunities for other contenders that if this happens, it's like, ah.
Well, I think to that degree, I think you're right. I mean, not that I think it says that they win, but you're right. Every year, this is going to be a team that we're saying is a lock to be competing, whether they're in the conference finals every year or the NBA finals every year with these three, or if it's just even Anthony Davis, LeBron, that team is probably still a lock to be at least final contenders.
Yeah.
And it, like you said, you had Kawhi Leonard, this is a reigning finals MVP. You have two guys on this roster who have NBA titles, a guy in Anthony Davis who's hungry for a title. Like, yeah, this should be a really good, deadly team. And I think when you're looking at, like, cause we always do this, we constantly just, when we get super teams, is who's going to sacrifice, who gets the little spoon. And LeBron has made mention, and I know, like you said, LeBron still scores a lot, even when he has said this, but he has said that he feels more comfortable being a facilitator, being a point guard, being the guy who kind of just like picks apart a defense. And this would be the first real time in his career, though, I think, where he has the ability to really be that guy. Like, yeah, he had it with Kyrie, and to some extent, you know, Kevin Love to a degree, I guess, when somewhat with Wade and Bosch, but like Kawhi can get a bucket whenever he wants. Anthony Davis can get a bucket whenever he wants. Like, he's never had these type. Like, LeBron arguably is the third best player realistically of these three guys, like you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, which is ridiculous to say. You know, LeBron's the best player on a championship team, and, you know, 29 other teams in the league, or maybe 25, whatever you want to say. There's only a few guys that you could argue that are even better than him. It would just be weird. And I think, like, from Kawhi's perspective, I'm just unsure of, like, if he would want to do that. And I don't want to say it's a bitch move, but, like, if we're going to criticize Kevin Durant, and I get it's different, but at the end of the day, you're still joining two of the top five players in the NBA, and you could argue the amount of talent they have combined with those two is just as much as joining Steph, Draymond, and Klay. Like, obviously, there's still other components to Golden State and whatnot. So I think it'd be an interesting thing. I'd be pretty surprised if it happened, but it seems like it's gaining traction.
All right, so literally just got this notification from Real GM saying that the Lakers plan on either using the $32 million to get Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie Irving. If it's not for one of those two guys, they will break up that cap between other players.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense in terms of, like, what players are out there and what can kind of fit what they need. And I wouldn't be surprised, they might say that, but Jimmy Butler could be a possibility. Obviously, he's gaining a lot of attention with Houston right now. Also, Philadelphia wants to retain him. The Kyrie Irving thing seems even more less likely to me because of the fact that Kyrie left LeBron the first time, and now he'd be joining LeBron, and he'd definitely be the third wheel. Like, you could try to say that he'd be the second wheel, but in everybody's eyes, you know he's the third best player on that team.
And I don't think if I'm LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kyrie's not the guy I want. Like, I don't want Kyrie at this point. And, like, that's not that I think Kyrie's a bad player, but there's just too much around Kyrie that, for me personally, like, especially in that, like, I think it's different with Brooklyn, because with Brooklyn, he's the guy, but with everything that's already been an issue, and he's going into a locker room with two other big faces, no straight lock of him being, you know, the third string, like, the second string guy, the first string guy. I still think I would want that kind of Kyrie after the year in Boston. I think Kyrie needs to kind of go to a place like Brooklyn where it's him, and maybe he pairs up with Durant, but even still, he doesn't have to deal with Durant on the court for an entire year. I just think he needs to do some, like, redefining of his image almost.
Yeah, I think that's partially why he wants to go to Brooklyn. I think partially why he wants to go to Brooklyn is, like I mentioned earlier, they have a more stable culture. Like, there's different expectations there, and the players are going to be more in check than I think maybe they were in Boston. And a lot of the criticisms come out about Brad Stevens. I do think Kyrie learned a lot last season. Like, I wouldn't also be surprised if he went back in the sense that, hey, I understand how hard it is to win a championship. Being with LeBron puts me in the best position to win a championship if championships is the route I want to go. Obviously, kind of leading up to our next point, it seems like Kyrie is a lock to go to Brooklyn. We've heard it from numerous sources. Even Donovan Mitchell was on a podcast or some type of NBA show saying he's the most sure about him going to Brooklyn than any other free agent landing somewhere else.
I mean, Kyrie got an apartment in Brooklyn. I know we try not to let real estate dictate where players are going, because these guys are always spending their money to buy new places to go. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Kyrie got a place in the city. I don't think it's a coincidence that it came out how much he hated just commuting around Boston, of how much he just thought it was miserable trying to get around that city. He's also from, you're right, he's from New York.
He's from New Jersey. He grew up being New Jersey Net fan, big Jason Kidd fan.
Okay, so, and I think that plays another factor. And like we said, I mean, I do agree that I think Kyrie to Brooklyn's a lot, because it's also, like, Brooklyn doesn't really have a big history. Like, the franchise leading scorer is Brook Lopez, which isn't a bad thing. Brook Lopez has been a really good player, but, like, this is a relatively open franchise to build your name around and legacy around.
100% agree. And that's been a selling point that I've had for the Nets leading into this offseason. Like, if you're a great player, you go there and, hey, I, you know, Kyrie has four really good years, maybe has leads them to a deep playoff run or teams up with somebody else to get in the finals or something. Hey, you think of, you know, the Nets, you think of, like, hey, you know, Dr. J way back in the day, then you think of Jason Kidd, then you think of Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
So I like it. And we do have some comments on in the chat. We got a lot going on. Adar says the D'Lo player option has been picked up. There's no player option for D'Angelo Russell. They sent out a qualifying offer for D'Angelo Russell to maintain his restricted free agency. And there'd be no point in the Nets in not doing that. What it does is it gives him a full-on safety net. They do not have to renounce him until they need that cap space. So it puts him in a position of power, you know, and they have until July 13th to rescind that qualifying offer or work something out with D'Lo. So that really doesn't mean anything. That the NBA media has been posting a lot of things like, hey, Kawhi declines player option. Kevin Durant, no shit. Like, we knew this was going to happen. Everybody who follows the NBA all year knows this is going to happen. And our boy Jack, who's not here, sadly, he said, give me a percentage on Kyrie to the Nets, homie.
I would probably say at this point 85. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would even feel comfortable saying 90 at this point. But I think 85 feels safe because there's 5% of you just don't know Kyrie.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know Kyrie, and then maybe the Nets get cold feet and they're like, we're kind of scared because some of the stuff has dropped out about him in terms of off the court stuff. But it does seem like all reports are pointing to them almost being a done deal and them trying to flip Kyrie instantly on Sunday into being in part of their meetings to recruit other guys. So I'd go at 85%. I'd be okay even going with 90%. There's one of the top free agents where I feel like he's sure to land, other than the guys we mentioned in terms of like Kemba and Klay Thompson and Chris Middleton. I think Kyrie would be a guy that I feel pretty confident where he's going to land. And now, Jack, it's already throwing more questions at us. Percentage on KD. We'll get to KD in a little bit. We still have to touch on Nikola Vucevic staying in Orlando, which I thought they signed him 4 years, 90 million. Well, reportedly, he's going to be 4 years, 90 million. I think it's a really good deal.
Is he's accepting it, he said?
Either. I believe so. I believe it's not official yet, but the word is that it's reportedly going to be a done deal.
Gotcha. I knew they were going to be offering him 4 years, 90 million. I mean, it's a good deal for Vucevic, and I don't think it's an unmovable contract either. With him being in the prime of his career, if they wanted to move him down the line a couple years from now, maybe you are able to move him and flip him. Made his first ever All-Star game this past year. Makes me wonder what the plan is with Mo Bamba, who I know a couple of our draft guys are really high on. Now this kind of stunts his future with Vucevic being locked up for the next 4 years. But this is a friendly contract, I think, for Vucevic. Because I'm really sure. Right? You hear me? Okay, I lost for a second. You hear with all of these, like Al Horford maybe getting like 100 million. Like if a 34-year-old Horford's getting that, you wonder what Vucevic price range would have been. I think this is a fair deal. I think Orlando, after getting their taste of the playoffs, wants to get back there next year. And I think if you want to get back there as soon as possible, then it's building around Vucevic and Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like the deal for Orlando, like you said. Vucevic had a really good season. They're trying to build moving forward. I know Keith Smith mentioned something. I know he lives in Orlando, the NBA reporter, that Vucevic just had a child. He lives in Orlando. He'd opened businesses in Orlando. So some of these guys, I think it's easy to forget. Hey, they're humans. They have ties to the community or where they live, and they're comfortable and they want to stay there. On the Mo Bamba front, like I get it. Like people are upset it's going to impact his growth, but let's be honest. Like Mo Bamba was not ready to contribute to NBA basketball last year. His frame is just not there yet. Like if they need to wait, this year maybe he contributes a little bit more, but next year would probably be the year. Like okay, maybe we need to find more minutes for him. Maybe we move Vucevic moving forward. Like you said, tradable contract. If not, it's not like centers are playing 40 plus minutes a game. You can split up the minutes a little bit easier. Maybe depending on how he does defensively, he can try to get some time on the court with them together. But obviously, the way the NBA going, it's unlikely. I don't hate it from the Mo Bamba front. And I think you have a really good player like that. You try to retain him, and then if you didn't, then you should have traded him at the All-Star break. So I like it, Orlando. Now, let's see. In terms of any other free agents, have you heard of any locks or guys guaranteed to go anywhere?
No locks. I haven't heard about any locks yet. I've heard just interest, for example, Pacers and Rubio. I know that the Knicks fallback
How does that make
position.
you feel? How does that make you feel? We need some views on
I just don't get it. I mean, the plan coming out of the season by Pritchard was to be aggressive, not being scared to go after big name guys. And we're not going after any big name guys. And now, granted, I'm not saying we're going to sign big name guys. I never have the expectation that Pacers are going to get D'Angelo Russell or Jimmy Butler or Kyrie Irving. It's not like my thought process. But to have these guys available and not to offer them any money or not to say like you're not even going to offer D'Lo a contract, you're not going to offer Tobias Harris a contract. It's questionable if you want to actually get better that the next name we hear after. We're going to be aggressive as Ricky Rubio. It's just like that's a giant drop off. That's from like a tier one to tier two guy going to a tier four, tier five guy. It's just there's a big drop between Rubio and those top guys, in my opinion, when you're trying to actually build a contending roster. So that's frustrating. Maybe it's smokescreen and they're trying to go after Brogdon or I think that's the only free agent I would want them to go after from the point guard position.
Yeah, I mean,
So it could be smokescreen.
I'd rather throw a max of D'Angelo Russell. I know it could be a slight overpay, but it would just make more sense if you're willing to overpay Rubio, who who isn't going to get better. If anything, he's going to get worse. You know, a problem for the Pacers last year was probably they didn't shoot enough threes. You want to get more three-point shooting. Yeah. D'Angelo's a very good three-point shooter. Malcolm Brogdon, very good three-point shooter. If not, like you said, there's other players that, hey, we're a small market in Indiana, but maybe we overpay each guy a million or two. We give him extra year in the contract. Makes more sense. Ricky Rubio, to me, I hate it. Like, if I was you, I'd be upset just because, like, what is that doing for us? It's not making us that much, not taking us to another level, especially because, you know, there's a chance you're going to have to play Sabonis on the floor a little bit with Miles Turner and stuff like that. So it's like your spacing is already possibly getting worse.
And I get this too. Like, if you're confident in Aaron Holiday, which is what the reports have been, that they're high in Aaron Holiday, like, I'm cool with that. But then bring back Collison so you're not losing three-point shooting. Because if you bring back Collison, you have Holiday. Let's say he gets a little bit better. That's another three-point shooter. You have Oladipo back. He's a decent three-point shooter. You have Bogdanovic. He can shoot. T.J. Warren, maybe he's an outlier, but as of right now, he can shoot. Miles Turner can shoot. Goga can shoot. You're hoping Sabonis can shoot because you want to start him. Like, then you have a lot of guys on the floor who can shoot the three-point shot. Doug McDermott as well off the bench. So then you feel better. But it's interesting when you're looking at guys who once again go against the grain. And yeah, I know you're huge on this. Space and pace is crucial in the NBA. And the Pacers just don't have a lot of guys who can space the floor.
Especially because the Pacers are an elite defensive team. Like, very good. They have, you know, arguably a defensive player of the year candidate in Miles Turner.
Second in the league last year.
Yeah, exactly. And now you're going and you're looking at, you know, a guy who's, I mean, he's Ricky Rubio's a good defender, but, like, I think it's sometimes he's a little overrated, sometimes a little underrated. Yeah. He's a guy that I don't think's amazing as people make him seem sometimes, but he's not as bad as other people make him seem. I'm just not a huge fan of the move, and especially timeline-wise, like, he's up there in age. He's not the youngest guy, and he's had a lot of miles in terms of he played a lot of international basketball. It feels like he's been in the NBA for a long time now, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. We do have some more questions in the chat. I mentioned Jack had another one. Percentages on KD. I'm going to assume maybe where he means in terms of like 100% the different locations, where we put percentages at for right now. I think there's only three teams in the race. I think it's Golden State, Brooklyn, and New York.
Yeah. And I'd probably say 40-40-20.
40-40-20. So 40 for Golden.
40 for Golden State, 40 for Brooklyn. And then, oh wait, that doesn't equal 100. It does. Yeah. Yeah. 20 for the next.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty fair. You know, you could maybe lower Golden State and Brooklyn's down a little bit and balance it out more with the Knicks. I think Woe just brought this up. Kevin Durant's done an extremely good job of making unknown where he's going to play. Like, you don't know. We
Did
got another
tweet no, from Woe 1 minute ago. So it's looking like Kevin Durant's looking at the Warriors, Nets, Knicks, and Clippers.
Okay, well, there it is. I still – the Clippers, maybe, but, like, their attention seems to be really on Kawhi. So that's more of like their second thought. I mean,
Is it Kawhi and Durant they're trying to get?
Could be. I mean, that was talked about, but hey, you never know. You never know. It's tough to say. You know, Kevin Durant could look at it like, hey, when I come back, I'm not going to be the same player. Maybe having a player like Kawhi to lean on will make my life a lot easier. Or it's, hey, maybe, you know, he gets Kyrie to go with him to the Clippers. Like, there's a possibility. I think there's a lot of different things out there that we don't know. So let's go back and let's rearrange that. So we'll include the Clippers as well. What are your percentages?
I'd probably split up that 20% and give the Knicks 10, the Clippers 10. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, I would. I think I'm a little bit higher on the Knicks just because there seems to be some real intrigue for Kevin Durant and the Knicks. Obviously, his agent slash business manager is a big Knicks fan. I think he tweeted out something like he wants to own the Knicks one day. But hey, then in a recent report came out by Ian Begley that free agents around the league are looking at the Nets very highly because of what their performance team has done and their medical team has done. So that's Kevin Durant. That's kind of, you know, a glaring need for you coming off a torn Achilles injury. So,
and I want to say, I think the one intrigue that the Knicks have too, like a guy like Kevin Durant, is there's also the fact of, well, maybe they don't get anybody. And then I go, and we don't get anybody. And I'm cool with that because then I get to see what RJ Barrett looks like. Whoever else they have, and then the only max money they have locked up for this season is me. And then maybe they still have a max spot left next offseason, and we try this again with maybe, let's say, Kawhi does a 1-1 deal, or some weird scenario happens, or Anthony Davis is a free agent. Maybe he decides he wants to leave, and I can try to lure him to New York. So it could be something like that, too, that Durant thinks he has a chance with.
Yeah, I like that idea less if I'm Durant, because the free agent class next year is pretty rough.
It is rough.
And I would say with AD waiving his trade kicker for the Lakers that he's almost guaranteed a supermax with them next year. So that'd just be my opinion on that. And he's looking to rack up the extra money next year. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Also, I think you could look at it from this perspective is, hey, the Knicks are going to be bad another year. We're going to get another high pick. We'll trade that for an all-star or superstar somewhere else in the league. Or, you know, I run this team in. They sign some other good free agents, no great free agents. This is my time to pull LeBron and lead a team to a championship by myself. But
yeah,
if there's other teams stacking up, I think you have to be realistic coming off a torn Achilles injury. I think you need somebody else that you can lean on. Like, he's going to have some growing pains coming back and whatever it may be. And I think you want to have maybe a possible another star, another player that you can count on to play with. That's why I think it'd be a little bit more likely. If you go to Golden State, obviously you still have Steph and Clay and whatever happens with Draymond. I know there's been some rumblings about him being open on the trade market, but it doesn't seem likely with the injuries that happen. Then you go to the Nets, you have Kyrie. You have Caris LeVert, who I think a lot of people forget about with the way he played in the playoffs. Then a whole bunch of other young guys who can take a step forward. Spencer Dinwiddie on a, you know, a bargain deal. Remember, he's only making $11 million. If he's probably on the market right now, he'd be making bank. So there's a lot of different avenues. And I'd probably go with something similar to you, maybe a couple percentages different here and there. But there was a recent report that Golden State is building some confidence in re-signing him.
I mean, the fact of the matter is the Warriors can say, like, well, look what have you done for you recently. Minus the Achilles injury. Look what have you done for you aside from – possibly jeopardizing the rest of your career. But
the weird thing about that is, like, there's reports out that say, hey, Kevin Durant is really pissed at the Warriors. Like, if he's really pissed, then they wouldn't have any type of confidence they resign him. So I feel like it's somewhat false. I think it was a combination. I think Steve Kerr came out and said that it was their medical doctor and then an outside opinion as well saying it would be okay. And, like, I get it. We didn't really talk about the Kevin Durant injury to the highest extent because we were still focusing on the finals. And I'll say this, like, yeah, there's a chance that it was related to his other injury, but there's also a chance that his Achilles just tore. Like, it's not unheard of for NBA players to tear their Achilles. Like, we've seen it happen. We just talked about DeMarcus Cousins happening a couple years ago. And the same thing with Kobe. You know what I mean? Like, and KD's had a lot of mileage. He had the deep playoff runs. So it's not like, you know, he's been sitting out a long time.
Yeah. I mean, the conspiracy theories for the Kawhi Achilles are – there's a case to be made. Like, I don't like conspiracy theories a lot of the times. I feel like people are just looking. But, like, you can definitely find whatever you want to support what your claim is of the Kevin Durant injury. And, yeah, I think you're right, though. If there was some, like, real bad feelings on Kevin Durant's side, he's not talking to the Warriors.
Yeah, like, you just mentioned the tweet by Woj. Like, there's four teams listed. Like, if he hated the Warriors, he would not be willing to re-sign them unless they're just not listing the fact that, hey, I'm going to re-sign with the Warriors, you're going to rehab with me, and then you're going to trade my ass because that's what I want.
To play devil's advocate, though, I mean, like, not that it's the same. Like, LeBron went back to Cleveland despite having an owner who, like, you know, trapped him. Like, I think obviously the different scenarios because one's, like, your body got hurt and broken down. One's I just called you a bunch of names.
And Cleveland is his hometown. Like, he loves Cleveland, like, to the highest extent. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron and Cleveland go together, and he felt okay leaving after he won the chip because he wanted to do that for the city.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Kevin Durant doesn't really have ties to, like, Golden State community. I mean, I'm sure he's done a lot of great things there, and yeah, I'm sure he probably has some investments, but I don't think it's on that same level. Final prediction on where Kevin Durant lands. We're going to talk again on Sunday. I should have said this earlier. 6 p.m., myself, Corey, and Jack will be going live soon as free agency starts. Hopefully, we get some really cool news to, like, pop off, like, at 6:01, 6:02, and blah, blah, blah. And we can talk about moves. If not, we got a lineup for you guys ready. But prediction as of today, where does Kevin Durant land?
As of right now, I'd say Brooklyn. So I think that the plan is still Kyrie and Durant. So I'm
if I could
right
kiss
now.
You through Google Hangouts, I would right now.
I mean,
I feel pretty good. Like, I'm not the type that's going to get excited until I see it happen. I've told Jack that I'll shed a tear of joy if it does happen. If they sign KD and Kyrie, that's two top 15 players. If the Lakers don't sign Kawhi this offseason, the Nets would have the best offseason we've seen since probably the Miami Big Three. But I'm leaning towards the Nets because there's just a lot of things that make sense in terms of, hey, I want to go to New York. I want to play with a really good player named Kyrie. I want a good supporting cast because I know they have other young players. They're well-liked around the league. They're player-centric. Like, that's one thing about the Nets. Other teams aren't as player-centric. They care about you. They care about your family. And we talked about the medical team, the performance team. And then there also was a little nugget of news that dropped this week. I can't remember if it was Nets Daily or another source that – Kevin Durant really has some interest in playing with Caris LeVert, who have been friends since Caris LeVert was at Michigan and broke his foot. They chatted a little bit. So just a little nugget in there. Obviously, he has ties to Taurean Prince. I'm not saying that's going to make or break where he signs, but I feel better about KD signing with Brooklyn than I ever have today.
I think you should. I think everything has moved in that direction at this point in time.
And Kendrick Perkins, a guy that I'm not necessarily a huge fan of listening to NBA-wise, has mentioned that he thinks the Nets are the front runner. Obviously, Woj just said that nobody's a front runner, but we'll see what happens on the KD front. I think there's also a really good chance that he resigns with Golden State. Like, I'm not saying it's a lock to the Nets or anything like that, but there's a really good chance.
Yeah, I think the Warriors' case is there's that what happens if we don't get hurt mentality, which we mentioned before in this pod. I mentioned that before. I just think there's that, damn, what happens if we don't get hurt? Like, damn, let's prove everybody that we're not done. Like, let's come back from these injuries and then put the world on notice. I just think there's that like little fuel to the fire where, like, I don't even care what they think about us at this point in time because of what we went through this past offseason.
Injuries changed the narrative a bit. When you look back, say they, you know, they're out this season. They're not going to win a championship last year. They're not going to win a championship this upcoming season. But, hey, KD comes back. Clay's 100%. Oh, shit, they just won back-to-back championships. Like, this team is really, really good when they're healthy. Like, the only reason that they didn't win chips was because they weren't healthy.
Yeah.
So, I'm intrigued. Obviously, we still got some time until Sunday. It feels like this week has taken forever. But in terms of other free agent talk, anything else you want to get into?
I think the Jimmy Butler stuff's interesting because we saw the Chris Paul trade to Houston a couple of years ago and how Daryl Morey kind of made that happen overnight. It had some weird moves. You're like, what the hell is he doing? The next thing we know, it was Chris Paul going to Houston.
And then the fact that Philly has been open to a sign and trade makes it more intriguing. Obviously, they wouldn't want Clint Capella. I do think Eric Gordon would be a very good fit with Philadelphia. You'd have to find a third team for, you know, Clint Capella or maybe whatever it may be. But I'd be intrigued. I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure how that all gels together. But Jimmy Butler does give them some major toughness. You know, Chris Paul hasn't been as good. Now Jimmy Butler kind of becomes that second guy. Chris Paul drops down a little bit.
I don't think it works personally. I know we always talk about fit. I think the Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, James Harden fit's really weird, especially in that offensive system. Maybe if the offense was different, but like a lot of James Harden dribbling, and then yes, I get you probably because Chris Paul was upset, give Chris Paul some more usage. But then like Jimmy Butler's another guy who needs the ball in his hands. And the only good 3-point shooter of those three is James Harden, with Chris Paul being about league average, I would have to guess, or maybe a little bit under league average, and Jimmy Butler being around the same. Like, it'd be a weird fit for me. I think they get a little bit better defensively having a guy like Jimmy Butler to kind of take the pressure off of James Harden of having to worry about a Kawhi Leonard, for example. But I don't know. It's a weird fit that Jimmy Butler is their main target.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting fit. I think they're just looking at it, hey, what star player can we try to attract to Houston, because he does have ties to Houston. He's from Houston. So it's like, what's the best talent that we can get in? That might be the best talent they can get. And you kind of worry about making it fit. It's on more so D'Antoni trying to make how this all can kind of work out. Like you said, the basketball fit, there are some questions. Could they make it work? No, I wouldn't be surprised, because you're talking about three really good players. But, you know, they'd have to get creative in terms of how they make them all utilized correctly and whatnot. Anything else on Jimmy Butler in terms of other teams you're thinking of?
No, I mean, it feels like it's between Houston and Philly. I guess the Kawhi domino is the only thing that opens up an LA team, I think. I don't think the Lakers are interested in Jimmy Butler. You can go small, I guess. It's weird because if you go after Jimmy Butler, the lineup just gets a little quirky because you have Kyle Kuzma and LeBron. And I feel like LeBron's best as a power forward, but so is Kuzma.
You could six-man Kuzma, to be honest. Like, I think right, I would kind of want to do that.
That's a good thing, too. I mean, if you have Kuzma come off the bench, LeBron's your four, and then Jimmy's your two or your three, which is fine. I think fit-wise, that's my only issue with Butler going to L.A. is where who's playing who or who's possibly playing out of position.
Yeah, I think they could. I'm all more okay with the fit because I think AD and LeBron are so versatile that you can kind of fit them. Even Jimmy Butler, to an extent, he can really play the two or three. And like you can play him at the one a little bit. Like I was impressed with his playmaking in the postseason last year, running pick and roll. They talked about this on a couple podcasts. I think it was a Zach Lowe pod where they pretty much said, "Hey, Ben Simmons, you're not running the show right now. We're going to give it to Jimmy Butler because he's done a better job and he can
Yeah.
actually shoot." So I think there's a lot of opportunities. We're getting some questions in the chat. They want to know what we think about Tobias Harris.
A guy who hasn't gotten any noise yet, because I think a lot of teams are looking at him as if we strike out, this is the guy we're going to go full blowdown. And I think
Probably
Philly
a slight
probably,
overpay too.
yeah, definitely a slight overpick. I think he's like right on the cusp of being a tier one free agent this year and probably being a tier two. And when you're right on the cusp like that, that's when you generally see the overpays. Philly, I don't think wants to lose him. If they lose Jimmy Butler, they're definitely not losing Tobias Harris. I think if they keep Jimmy Butler, that's when you see maybe they go, well, we should probably maybe look at trying to divvy up this money differently to maybe get some more perimeter shooting or something less than having those big role guys. But Tobias Harris is interesting. Where else does he go? I can see him going back to the Clippers. Hello, Annie. I can see him going back to the Clippers. I could see the Pacers maybe doing a smoke screen and then they pursue him.
If he went back to the Clippers, that shit would be so crazy. They would have just fleeced the shit out of the Sixers and they get the same player back. Like, I would be like, oh my God, that's
There's
just
no
like,
rule. There's no rule for that.
yeah.
I wouldn't be against that. I'm actually like building steam towards Tobias Harris going back to the Clippers, and bring Boban back too. Like, screw it, just bring everybody back.
That would be funny. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. Like you mentioned, he's kind of a second-tier guy for a lot of these. Jimmy Butler, to an extent, too, is, I think, a second-tier guy. Like,
Yeah.
hey, like if the Nets get Kyrie and they want to team up for a star, they're not going to get Kawhi or KD. Oh, let's grab Jimmy Butler. We'd still be a really good team, possible contender. Same thing with the Clippers. If they get Kawhi or KD, they want another guy to put there. So I think same thing with Butler, kind of similar thing with Tobias. And like you said, the Sixers are in a weird position. You know, I've heard a lot about the Sixers, and they're in an intriguing spot. They can either have a lot of cap space, or they can just run back an extremely good starting lineup that they had last year, and then pray that some of the guys they drafted in Zaire Smith, who they drafted last year, comes back and is healthy, and maybe their bench is a little bit better. So I'm intrigued by the Sixers, and I'm intrigued by both guys and Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. And there's just so many opportunities for them to land, and both guys want to get paid.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued on those guys. Let's see what else we got in this chat. We got some more questions. Al Horford.
Yeah, Al Horford's interesting. I heard the Pelicans might have some interest. Obviously, the Mavericks rumor came out. That was kind of already debunked, that the Mavericks didn't actually offer that contract. But again, there's so much smoke screen this time of year. It's hard to really know what's real and what's fake unless you get a lot of the same source stuff, which is like the Kemba to Boston, for example. And I just got a notification that Kevin Durant could wait till next week to announce his decision. You son
I'm
of a
not gonna lie,
gun.
I'd be really pissed if he does.
Yeah, that's a long time to wait.
And what that'll do is that'll hold up a lot of free agency. That'll hold
Yeah.
up all the teams we just mentioned. You know, Golden State's not gonna really be active if they don't get K, you know, if they don't re-sign KD, but Brooklyn, New York, Los Angeles, unless, you know, the Clippers land Kawhi at the, you know, 6 o'clock or something like that, which I think he's gonna take a couple meetings. I would really prefer if Kevin Durant just makes his damn decision and drops that at 6:01, Players Tribune.
Do you know what that does though? If he halts up his decision, you could also see the guys like Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris maybe get more offer sheets early on, because then it forces the hands of the teams. I mean, not that Philly's waiting for Durant, but it could push some of these teams that are trying to wait to see where Kawhi and Durant fall to make more aggressive moves at guys that they're kind of waiting on.
Yeah,
So.
and even on the flip side, the teams that are going after Durant are going to be waiting and holding on to that money, where teams that
Right.
don't think, hey, we're not going to get Kevin Durant. We don't think we're going to get Kevin Durant. We still have a lot of cap space. Shit, we're going to send big money at this guy. He doesn't really want to wait 7 days because he doesn't know if someone else is going to offer him this contract. Hey, that's good for us. Boom. We
Yeah.
just landed a big time star and we didn't even think we were going to.
Yeah. So back to Al Horford. I think Dallas makes sense. I think the Pelicans make sense, especially if you want to try and bring in a vet. I
Chatter
think
about Philadelphia.
Philly would be interesting because I guess that means you're not bringing back Tobias.
Correct.
And then you'd have either Al Horford coming off the bench as like a really super energized six man playing a little bit of everything, or start the four, maybe come off the bench.
I think you got to start him because you're paying him 20 mil at least, because
Right.
I think he's getting 20 million regardless. So I think you're starting him. What it does also do for you, two things. One, he's been the only guy that's really slowed down Joel Embiid in the playoffs. So now you kind of get a pass on that. And then you also have great Joel Embiid insurance. You know, Embiid's going to miss games. Like, he's just a guy that gets hurt. And I'm not calling him injury prone, but he does get hurt. Now you start Al Horford. Things are not as bad. And Horford just gives you some of the elements in an offense that you need that Philadelphia's offense just hasn't had the last few seasons. They just don't run it smoothly. You put a guy like Horford, who's extremely smart, can get things going. But it is scary because then you're paying him a lot of money later on, and Ben Simmons is a restricted free agent next year, and he's going to want max money.
Yeah, that's the cap situation. The years beyond would be the issue. But I do think just having him to run the high post, kind of like pick and roll even, with maybe even running it with Embiid, you might even be able to see that. It gives their offense a whole new look because, as we know, when they got caught in the half court, they were kind of problematic at times. Horford, I think, is a very good half-court player.
Yeah, I think he definitely provides them something that they haven't had in terms of just an intelligent big, and that's not criticizing anybody else there, just Al Horford does it extremely high level. Some mentions in the chat of where do you think D'Angelo Russell lands?
I think outside of Brooklyn, I think has the Laker news kind of the Laker news has quieted incredibly since.
Honestly, when I first saw it, it kind of seemed a little fake in the extent that, hey, the Lakers are going to offer D'Angelo Russell $20 million a year. Like, D'Lo is getting more than $20 million, so I had to make a guess. There's a lot of teams, like we mentioned the Pacers. I think the Pacers would be okay probably maxing him out, or a team like Chicago throwing big money at him. Or, you know, there's been a lot of chatter about Minnesota having something up their sleeve in terms of dropping Andrew Wiggins and trying to get that money out. I know Carl Anthony Towns earlier this month posted a at D'Lo with like watching eyes. So I don't know. Yeah. I think he could land in a lot of spots, and $20 million in LA just never seemed realistic. If they want to give him his max, which isn't the 32, it's at, I believe like 26. Yeah, I could see that, but he's not playing for $20 million in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. And I think 26 would actually almost make more sense because then you can get at least some cap to go after somebody else.
And he's good. Like, I don't like a lot of people are like, oh, getting the perspective that, hey, you want the Nets to sign Kyrie Irving. D'Angelo Russell's not good. No, Kyrie's just better. Kyrie's just top 3 point guard. D'Angelo's top 10, a chance to get higher. I think his peak would be where Kyrie Irving's at right now. And there's no guarantee he gets there. But then you have D'Lo and Anthony Davis as LeBron kind of gets older. I think that's not a bad fit at all. Like, I like the fit with LA. It's just a whole weird whatever happened in the past thing.
And not that I think this is the case, but this could also last season could almost be the best version of D'Lo to a degree.
Yeah.
Where he's a borderline all-star, makes it because somebody gets hurt and he puts up good numbers, some really streaky shooting nights, but just like a really solid ball player. Like, this could be like peak him to a sense where Kyrie, we know what peak Kyrie is, and that's a champion, and that's a guy who can hit the big shot, who can do a lot off the dribble. Like, they're very similar, but you just know what you're getting with Kyrie compared to D'Lo, whereas D'Lo, you've seen glimpses and flashes, but we still don't know if those glimpses and flashes become an everyday thing.
Yeah, and there's some concerns with D'Angelo Russell. Can he be efficient? He can't score inside. We know Kyrie's one of the best under the rim, you know, scorers in the entire NBA in terms of layup package. So, like you said, what D'Angelo did last year is enough for him to probably be a third option on a contending team. And that's what he would be with the Lakers, at least at this point right now.
Yeah, and I think for D'Lo, looking at teams, which was the original question, it'd probably be Minnesota. I think Phoenix is throwing smoke screen. I think Phoenix is interested because at this point in time, with how much losing they've had over the last couple of years, to keep Devin Booker happy, getting his best friend and at a position that you have desperately lacked and have been unable to find an answer for at the point guard position.
Since you got rid of three point guards, that's the funniest thing about they had one point they had Goran Dragic, Eric Bledsoe, and Isaiah Thomas, and now they have nothing.
Right. They haven't had a point guard since they got rid of those guys.
Yep.
So we're looking at like a 4-year window where they have not had a good starting point guard. D'Lo could be that answer. And it almost makes sense for Phoenix, I think. If you're trying to go young, you have DeAndre Ayton. The time frame then between Russell, Booker, and Ayton is almost perfect. That could be your big three in a couple of years.
Mikal Bridges played some good basketball for them last year, too. I like his game. I think he's a great complimentary player. And D'Lo and Devin Booker is exciting. Like, that's exciting basketball. Like, that backcourt could easily average, you know, 50 to 60 points. Like, that's how good of scorers they are.
Black Brothers play out. 2.0.
Essentially, it really is. I mean, it's not like there's no comparison there. You know, D'Lo's game has been compared to Steph, obviously, to a lesser extent. Same thing with Devin Booker and Klay Thompson. I would be intrigued. But like you said, Phoenix has to do some work. They have to make some trades. They have to open up cap space, and they're not there yet. They have to get creative. You mentioned, you know, Minnesota, like I said, is a real possibility as well. I really like the fit with the Pacers. I thought that would have been really interesting. We just mentioned the Lakers. I'm surprised. There's a rumor came out said that it wasn't true, but I don't understand why the Knicks wouldn't go after D'Angelo Russell if they miss out on the big free agents. He's 23 years old.
I still don't understand what they're doing with Dennis Smith Jr.
I mean, and let's be honest, like, best case Dennis Smith Jr., best case D'Angelo Russell, I feel a lot better with knowing best case D'Angelo Russell than Dennis Smith.
I 100% agree with you, but I still don't understand what yes, you freed up some cap space, like gave him to Porzingis, but, like, why did you go after Dennis Smith Jr. if you were only going to look at point – because they've already – pretty much they have only been looking at point guards. Kyrie and then Kemba. The D'Lo doesn't make any sense why there haven't been any conversations, because we've heard – Their backup list is Julius Randle, Bobby Portis, and Terry Rozier.
And wait, did you see the report that they said there's not a big drop-off between Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier? Like,
yeah, I feel like that's a spoof. There's no way. And I know it was the New York Daily Post that sent that. There's no way that that's an actual thought by New York Knicks ownership. I told that to a Knicks fan, and he literally, like, he looked at me, and he was like, please say that one more time. And I was like, the Knicks think – that there's not a giant drop-off between Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier. And he's like, has anyone watched any basketball in the last 3 years?
Dude, you know.
That's how I feel. I don't get it. This is Terry Rozier, who had a decent playoff run last year and in the regular season has never shot over 42%. Like, there's a major drop-off between these two. There's a reason why Terry Rozier was the third-string point guard last year in Boston.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, and like, you know, I've never been high on Terry Rozier. I felt like his playoff run was like, he played really good at home, really bad on the road, super inconsistent. He like has a really good six-man like skill set, I would say, but as my starting point guard, I'd be scared. He's just so sporadic, so not a huge fan of that. I mean, I would be happy for it because I'm not a big fan of the Knicks, but that is what it is. You mentioned Julius Randle. He's an interesting guy. We kind of talked about him on the power forward thing. Nothing's really changed on his front. I think he'll be a little bit of an overpay.
Yeah, and the Bobby Portis, like I mentioned, I'm high on Bobby Portis. I think he's and at his best, he's a double-double guy. He can give you some offense. He can shoot the three-point ball decently well for a stretch four. Decent rebounder. I think just the off-the-court stuff, he can get a little crazy, as we know, from the Mirotic situation where he broke his face. But I think these guys are all young, so I'm okay if the next route of missing out of the top guys is going to younger guys. But you make a great point of why D'Lo's name isn't mixed in with these three.
Yeah, I guess maybe they're going for the cheaper route and they're trying to use some of that cap space to possibly take on another bad contract, get another first round pick. So, I mean, that's on the realm of possibilities. Corey, anybody else you want to touch on? Like I said, we're going to be going live 6 p.m. on Sunday, so there'll be plenty of chatter then. I think we touched on a lot. I'm starting to heat up in this room right now, so I need to get some AC. But as always, pleasure, Corey, talking free agency with you. We'll be iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Till next time. Peace out, knuckleheads.